come.
Hey, ladies, like, do you find it attractive if a man can work with his hands?
You're going to get a 100% yes. That's obvious.
Oh. Oh, now you really caught my attention. Otay. Otay. Hey, what's happening, you guys? Welcome to the Proclivity Podcast. I am your host, Joel Cochran. I am here with the incredible, beautiful Emily Rodella. We're excited to be here today, and we're here to talk to you about snacking. Uh-oh, the S word. We're going to talk about snacking, what it is, whether we should be doing it or shouldn't be doing it. And we're going to talk about certain tips when it comes to your food timing and snacking. So if you are a snack monster and it's hard for you to not snack, this is the episode for you. If you're unsure, should I be snacking? This is the episode for you. And or if you have some digestive issues that you feel throughout the day, bloating, gas, diarrhea, heartburn, this is the episode for you. It's going to be short and sweet. It's the daily drive. So, Coach Emily, are you ready to rock and roll?
Let's go.
She loves the snacks. Talking about it, that is. Let's dive into it. When we're talking about snacking, first and foremost, do we know the definition of snacking? Did we look that up?
I'm going to assume it's any food between your meals.
Okay. It's
to me, it's nothing that's it's something that's not outside of your plate. Yeah. Whatever you plan for your meal.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's not really a good definition, so we're going to roll with that. Snacking is something I feel is quite cultural, particularly in the United States. We're sold a lot of different snacks in teeny little packages, in the way that it's presented, grab and goes, you go to the airport, snacks. So when we talk about snacks, the S word, why are we snacking? If we're constantly reaching for the little packages, why are we doing it?
Yeah. So you alluded to it a moment ago. I think a big part of it starts with our culture. Two parts, right? Our culture being we're on the go very often, right? We work a lot. Mm-hmm. The culture of having family and kids, but also working a lot. It makes us want to grab and go food, right? Mm-hmm. So we need easier food if we're not preparing all of our meals and we're not sitting down for all of our meals. So our culture of go, 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 needing something fast and easy. Right. But also the processed foods that come along with it cause us to want to snack nonstop. Mm-hmm. Right. The highly refined foods, the hyper palatable foods that are packaged, right, that taste delicious, mm-hmm. but leave us feeling unsatiated, which leaves us feeling like we need to snack and snack more and more. Mm-hmm. So those are the main reasons. And then as a result of both of those, we're more stressed. Mm-hmm. So it feeds the cycle, mm-hmm. right? When we're stressed, we're looking for a dopamine hit. Hyperpalatable food or food in general can give us that dopamine hit, make us feel better. Okay. But then that leads us into being more stressed, more hungry, right? We're go, go, go again. Mm-hmm. And then that also leads to when we're having, like I said, those hyperpalatable foods, usually they're high in refined carbohydrates and sugars and nutrient poor ingredients, which leaves our micronutrient cup really low. AKA our energy levels, our levels to help boost our immune system, our level to help cognitive function, all of those things. So then we end up being hungrier and what most people refer to as hangry, mm-hmm. right? Which we call metabolic inflexibility. So if you can't go 2 hours without feeling like, oh, I really want a snack. I feel really hungry, right? 2, even 3 hours, you're most likely metabolically inflexible, mm-hmm. and or you have some level of stress where you're just in the habit of snacking often, right? And your body's used to that via our circadian rhythm, mm-hmm. right? Our circadian rhythm is another big part in this process, right? It's the same idea as if we go to bed every single night, our body gets used to that. And eventually if you go to bed and wake up every day the same time, it's much easier for us to wake up at those times, right? Mm-hmm. Same idea with food. If it's used to eating at certain times throughout the day, it's going to get used to that as well and expect that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot at play here, but mostly that we're metabolically inflexible, we're more stressed because we're doing a lot, and then our culture of highly processed foods. It's a vicious cycle of all of those.
Yeah. And the stress one is quite interesting because we have used continuous glucose monitors on our clients before, and we'll be looking back at their data and all of a sudden see this massive spike in their blood glucose level. And we're like, whoa, what sugary snack did you have there? And there was none. It was a stressful event. And there was all of a sudden this massive boost in glucose. And if we find ourselves super stressed and we know some hard chargers that get that sweet tooth in the middle of the day, right after lunch, and it's usually when they're at their highest of stress, and they all of a sudden get this like sugar, they have to have some type of sugar because they're in this really stressed state. Being able to manage your stress is a big part of snacking, wouldn't you say?
Oh, huge part. I know, at least for me, one of my past habits was I'd get home from work or my day and just go straight to the cabinets and look for a snack. Mm-hmm. Like, right. Even as I was making dinner, I'm like, no, I need a snack. Even though I know I'm not truly hungry. I may feel hungry, but it's more of the stress coming in. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And would you say as well, why we snack is that the way that we start off our day, whether that's with sleep or the first, if we do end up having a breakfast, what that breakfast looks like, because listen, there's a lot of people out there that are running out the door with a piece of toast in their hand. And what does that do to their body when it sets them up for the rest of the day?
Well, yeah, well, there's a lot that plays into that as well, right? If we're starting our day off rushed, for example, that's one thing, right? Our body is high cortisol, again, another form of stress. But then if we go to that piece of toast or the oatmeal or the fruit, those higher carb things, even though there a lot of those can be considered whole foods, it's still carbs and it's not paired with the protein and the fat most often, right? Which are the things we need to stay satiated. And so that could leave our blood sugar going high. And then oftentimes that leads to that low or dip in blood sugar, which leads to the hangriness, the foggy brain, the low energy, and it starts that roller coaster over again. You start to crave more because you're like, well, I'm low energy, so I need something to boost me up. And so I really think that the big part of that plays into that is we've been told, hey, saturated fat is bad. Eggs are not so great for us, right? And we have this idea of what breakfast is supposed to be like, paired with that whole grab and go idea. Oh, what's just fast, right? And it's turned into this high carb snack, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to set our day up for success.
It's not. And we're going to end up in a snack monster mode when we start off our day rushed with highly palatable, highly processed foods. Yet it's keto friendly. It's gluten free. It's organic. Does that matter?
No.
Okay, good. I'm glad we covered that for anybody out there that their heart just broke or sank a little bit because they're running out the door with their gluten-free, USDA organic, fair trade, still highly palatable food. It's still
correct.
It's still going to mess you up later. So what we're leaning towards here is that ideally we don't want to be snacking a ton. So why is it that we want to move away from snacking?
Yes. So a couple main reasons. The first one being that we want to be metabolically flexible. This means that we can go 5-6 hours between meals and not need the snack. That means our body can tap into stored fuel sources, whether it be stored glucose or fat. we want to be able to do that. We don't want to be relying on continuous intake of food throughout the day, because that leads to our body relying on that food, and it leads to those feelings of hangriness and not only just the immediate symptoms, but long-term chronic health issues, metabolic disease, you name it, any health symptom, it can start there. And so we want to be more metabolically flexible. So we, in order to do so, we don't want to be snacking all the time. And we'll talk about this in a bit, but there may be room for a snack or two, but in general, we want to have longer periods of times before eating or between eating, right? And so metabolic flexibility is why we want that. For some people, gut issues. Now, this one totally depends the person. For some people who have gut issues and really poor blood sugar, you want to be having food every 3 or 4 hours. But for most people, we want to be extending that to 5 or 6 hours. And so especially if you have certain or specific gut issues, extending that period of time can actually help your gut be relieved a little bit. And so especially if you have slow motility, right, that can lead to the things like acid reflux or bloating or gas. If your food is just sitting in your stomach and then you're adding more food on top of that, it's slowing that digestive process down more and more. So if you ever have like a really bad stomach ache, you're really bloated, give your digestive system a break. Take some time before you eat again. So the third issue, so I talked about metabolic flexibility, and then for some people, slow gut motility or gut issues. The third one would be just weight loss, right? If you're looking for an easier way to lose some weight, this is, for me, at least personally, and a lot of our clients, this is one of the easier ways rather than counting your calories or just restricting your calories. Mm-hmm. Right? Because if we put a lot of other components in there, like quality foods, and we teach you all about that in our program, if you either fast or you just take longer breaks between your meals, it can help your body, again, use those stored sources of fuel for fat or for fuel, in turn, burn more fat or lose weight easier and feel better while doing it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, guys, let's not get this twisted. Right. When Emily's talking about weight loss or maintenance, there's many different ways that you can lose weight. All right. You can do macro counting. You can do fasting, intermittent fasting, all these different things. But what it really comes down to is your calorie in, calorie out. Correct?
Yes. Ish.
Ooh, never mind. I retract. Okay. Feed us with that. What are we talking about? Because when we're talking about weight loss, you know, a lot of people get into this window of, okay, I just need to restrict what I'm eating throughout the day, and I'm in the state of hungriness. I'm thinking about food, so on and so forth. So when I'm talking about in terms of calories in, calories out, if we're in a calorie deficit, there's going to be a healthy calorie deficit, I guess I would say with that. Mm-hmm. There's going to be the ability to lose weight or have a maintenance there. Yes or no? Am I off base here?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so that's the benefit. Yeah, I get what you're saying. So if we are snacking less, if we are fasting, as examples, we are usually eating less calories. That's not the only way, but yes, that can help with weight loss.
Cool. So if we're looking at this in terms of, hey, how much, because if we're overeating, we're going to have a digestive issues. We're going to put on more weight, so on and so forth. True with that.
Yes.
Okay, cool. I was able to go the opposite way and she agreed with me. Great. Okay. So when it comes to snacking, and we talk about this quite often in terms of the mental side, what we focus on expands. So if we start verbalizing, oh, I'm so hangry. Oh, I need a snack. I got to eat before I work out. I need this before I take a test. We hear this quite often. I need food to be able to do the thing, whatever that thing may be. Well, now our focus has gone onto it. So now we've latched onto it. So now we're like, oh my gosh, I won't be complete until I eat. So now I need it. Well, now we've just trained that reticular activating system to go, zhink, I'm on it. We got to find it. And here are all the reasons why we need this food. Yet, if we flip that and we go, my body has everything that it needs. I'm completely fulfilled. I'm going to drink some water with some element. Watch with just the change of language and see what happens. See what happens when we go, hey, I don't have to feed this one little hunger cue. One little hunger cue, because it actually might be a hydration cue. So why don't I drink a little bit of water? Why don't I go on a walk? Why don't I get some sunshine on my face? And then see, instead of immediately trying to feed that teeny little hunger cue and allowing our mind to go, oh, I got to eat. Because if I don't eat, I'm not going to be able to lift all the weights, do all the things. And if you've ever followed me on Instagram, I do everything that I possibly can to show that that is completely false. I've done 3-day fasts and maxed out on deadlifts. And guess what? I maxed out at 95% of my one rep max. I've done 34 miles in fasted states. What you tell yourself will create the future that you're going into. So be careful when it comes to snacking and what you're saying that you need to be able to get through your day. Do you agree on that?
100%.
Oh, yes, I got 100% from Emily. It wasn't, it depends. When we were talking about weight loss and constriction of calories, it depends. You're right. Yet too much snacking can lead to weight gain.
Yes.
Oh, got her again. Fantastic. Okay. So now we've talked about snacking, what it can do if you're having digestive issues, if you're struggling a little bit with, you know, being able to lose some weight. It could be snacking. We're not saying it is, but it could be snacking. So what is the answer here when it comes to snacking? What should we be doing?
Yeah. So what we usually recommend for most people is we should be aiming for more meals, less snacks, right? What I mean by that is, can we have a more balanced meal when we do eat, right? Whether that be two, three, or four times a day, depending on the person, right? So before you get to determining that, you'd want to say, hey, do I have a cortisol or blood sugar issue, right? Because if you do, then you most likely need to start off with that three or four meals, right? Rather than the two. So we want to determine that. And that's where I'd work with a coach or functional medicine practitioner to determine that, right? But if you're in the average range for people in terms of blood sugar issues, if you can go 4 hours between meals and feel fine, then we want to push that a little bit, right? And perhaps go 5 or 6 hours, which is the typical three meals a day. But what most people are missing there and why they feel hungry in between or they have the cravings is, of course, one, the stress part. But that's where that mindset and the language comes in and the strategies to mitigate or reduce or manage that stress. But also what we're eating at mealtimes. We want to be making sure that our meals are actually satiating. So our body's not actually hungry. Mm. It can tap into fuel sources if need be. So the best way to do this is to have bigger meals, specifically with more protein, right? Protein is the priority here. If we are lacking on protein, you'll most likely be hungry just a couple hours later. So number one, protein. Number two, is there a fiber? This could be veggies. This could be a fruit. This could be seeds. Could be sauerkraut, whatever you want it to be. But a fiber usually is that next filling or more satiating feeling that your body's going to want to feel full. And then number three, fat. Because that is that longer burning energy source that we really need to go the 5, 6, 7, 8 even hours between meals and still have good energy and train your body to use fat for fuel, not only carbohydrates. Mm. So the three things as a recap, protein, at least 30 grams. If you still find yourself hungry between meals, bump that up to 40, up to 50, up to 60. That's fine. It's really hard to overeat protein. So protein, fiber, and fat. Make sure you have those at your meals. Add an apple, add some veggies, right? Fill yourself up and then make sure you have that fat source in there too. So that'd be a great first starting point in terms of, okay, let's have bigger meals and see how I feel. Mm.
And so by having that little formula of, hey, are we having fiber? Are we having fat? And are we having protein? That's going to help to extend that eating window of that snacking. Will someone feel a little bit more full finishing a meal like that.
Yes. Yep. Definitely. And if you're thinking like, oh, well, I can't eat a chicken breast and a half and broccoli, like that's just, it's so hard for me to eat that, whether you feel full or just not, doesn't taste good to you, then we need to change that. It needs to be something that's enjoyable to you, mm-hmm. right? So find a veggie, find a fruit, find a protein, find a fat that makes that meal taste good to you and start there. But yes, you will feel a little bit fuller at first. So slowly add on. If you notice that you're like, man, I was only getting 20 grams of protein at every meal, go to 25 for a couple of days, go to 30 the next couple of days, right? Slowly build your way up and prioritize protein. I get a lot of food journals in clients and it shows like, oh, I was just so full, I couldn't eat more protein. It's because you had two pieces of toast and you had crackers and you had two apples and two oranges, like all these other things that fill you up first. So not only prioritizing your protein when you're building your plate, but when you're actually eating too.
Mm, that's such a great point of like bringing in snacking before your meal. That is something that most people don't recognize, is that they're prepping dinner, but they're snacking on the chips. And they're having some nuts and they've cut up an apple and they're dipping it in peanut butter and they're doing all these different things and they're actually snacking before their meal. So then when they go to sit down, they have this beautiful steak, right? They have their veggies on the plate, everything else. They can only eat half and they feel so full. But that's because they started eating 15, 20, 30 minutes before their meal. And so what ends up happening? We start getting those signals that like, oh, cool, we're good. You've given us these different highly palatable foods or higher carbohydrate foods. We're solid. And then we don't have as much protein and fat. And then what ends up happening later?
Then we get hungry right before bed and we want a snack or a treat.
And we're not going to pull out the cold steak, right? What are we going to have?
The snacky foods are the treat.
Dang right. We're going to pull out that dark chocolate with that peanut butter and maybe some Three Wishes. Right before bed. Do we think that's a great idea? Maybe, maybe not. Yet we should be careful even when it comes to snacking right before dinner, because I can be guilty of that.
Oh yeah.
And I go to sit down and I'm like, oh man, this protein's looking quite hefty right now.
So I have my own personal rule with that. If I want to really snack while I'm making dinner, and sometimes it's because I have my two-year-old who he wants a snack, and sometimes you got to negotiate with two-year-old. So my rule is, okay, then it's high protein or high fiber, because that's going to add to your protein and fiber intake that we're shooting for anyways, and it's going to set your blood sugar up for success. So that could be a handful of cashews. That could be a handful, right? That could be some carrots for the fiber. That could be something that's not super hyper palatable. That's, again, adding to the protein and fat. That's not going to make you go overboard and prevent you from eating that steak or whatever protein you have. Mm.
Man, for all the snackers out there, hopefully we're not ruining your day. Not saying you can't snack. But I'll tell you what, when I do start snacking, I immediately feel digestive issues. Like same. I feel the bloating. Yeah. I can even sometimes, you know, feel that heartburn. It's quite interesting.
And I will, well, we can get to this, but there are times where people need the snacks, right? Especially if you have the blood sugar issues and you're in the beginning stages and you are metabolically inflexible, that's okay. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to be snacking literally like every hour or every 2 hours. There's ways to go about that with all the tips that we're giving here. So yeah. And especially if you are high, like a high level athlete, you are getting a ton, you know, 15,000, 20,000 steps in a day. Yeah. That might warrant a snack depending on who you are. So there's times and places, but most people, I can almost guarantee who are listening to this, most people likely do not need to be snacking as much as every 2 hours. So I mentioned one tip and trick, right? Bigger meals with prioritizing protein, fat, and fiber. But also we want to look at hydration, because that's such a simple thing. That's like the lowest hanging fruit when it comes to avoiding or minimizing snacking. Have some water and electrolytes first, as Joel said. First, see if it's just a matter of, oh, do I just need something? Is it just a habit? It might be dehydrated. Right. So make sure you're getting at least half your body weight in ounces per day in water and sip on that throughout the day. That's going to be a huge help too. And then last, in terms of tips to start this, right? If you've never fasted more than 12 hours, meaning you stop eating at 7 p.m. and then you eat at 7 a.m., start there in terms of a fast if you're interested in that. Start small with that. Start with 12 hours and then you can work your way to 13, 14, 15, 16 hours once or twice a week. That'd be a great starting point, right? So again, that overnight fast, you can try that. Or you could try working out in a fasted state. And I don't mean like a hard, crazy cross workout if you're doing this for the first time. I mean like a light jog, bike ride, rowing, some lighter cardio, right? Because that could push your body into using stored fat for fuel or stored fuel in general, whether it be glucose or fat, doesn't matter. Still working that mechanism in your body to, hey, I don't need excess, like outside fuel. I can find it in my body. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It makes a ton of sense. I love being able to do workouts in a fasted state. It's my fave.
I do too.
It's my fave.
I do too. Again, depends on the person, but try it out. Try it out. See how you feel.
Beautiful.
And have your electrolytes. That'll help a lot.
Y'all, I mean, I've said this many times. When Emily introduced me to Element, my life shifted. Okay. The ability, it's like a cheat code. Okay. Like on a video game where you got like up, up, down, right, left, whatever, like punch in the code. And you're just like, oh, what? You know, not nearly as, is it time to do something, Emily?
It's actually an alarm to drink water.
Oh my goodness gracious. Do you got your water?
Yes, I do.
With you, there we go. She's take a sip of your water. That's your coffee.
It's Element.
Is it?
It's warm water, you know, I promise.
Okay. All right. We'll take that then. All right. Let's wrap this thing up. We're keeping this bad boy short and sweet. We've talked about snacking. What is snacking? Why do we snack? Why we want to slowly be moving away from snacking, the benefits of it, metabolic flexibility, improves your digestion, inflammation, also can help with weight loss or maintenance because we're not eating more, we're not going into a surplus. We also talked about what we want to do to start aiming to spread out those windows from eating meal to meal. So let's leave with four exact tips. If people are out there and I'm struggling with some snacking, what are our three simple go-to tips?
Yeah. So we actually didn't mention this, but this is foundational for literally everything, but sleep, right? So if we're not sleeping well, it's going to make that fasting or removing snacks so much harder, right? So we need to get that sleep in, start prioritizing that bedtime first. Mm-hmm. Number two, hydration, right? These sound so simple. Mm-hmm. Sleep and hydrate, duh. It matters, right? So really make sure you are fine tuning that for you. And when we say hydration, make sure you have those electrolytes in there. Boom. Right? Have it with you throughout the day. Number three, more balanced meals. As we talked about, more protein, more fat and fiber. See how you feel, right? Get that protein to a minimum of 30 grams when you are eating. And then make sure you have a source of protein, a source of fat to help keep you satiated and keep you energized for longer.
There it is, you guys. One, two, three. When we're talking about snacking, this was a huge game changer for me. Not only in body composition, but also the way that I felt. And so it does take a little bit of getting used to, one, not snacking, two, having a little bit bigger of meals where you're like, oh, I feel so heavy. You're only going to feel full and heavy for a short amount of time. And then that is going to last in terms of being satiated for a much longer time. Instead of this thought process that I'll eat all these hyperpalatable foods that literally feel lighter in my hand and in my mouth, but in the end cause me to eat more. So the whole, and again, we got to be careful of our language. I feel really light, or being able to go, hey, I'm eating this full meal to be able to be satiated longer. There's different language there. We want to make sure that we're using the appropriate ones. So if you guys have any questions when it comes to snacking, feel free, reach out to us. If you want a free PDF on metabolic flexibility. We have it. Reach out to us. You can go to our Instagram, proclivity.co, or you can email us, joel or emily@proclivity.co, and we'll send you over our free PDF to metabolic flexibility. It's our 3 tips, super simple, very detailed, to be able to get you on the right path. These 3 tips alone will help to eliminate snacking, will help to manage body composition, digestion, and so on and so forth. 3. Simple and easy are not the same thing. If you get these 3 things down, you will start feeling a difference. Guaranteed. Emily, anything else? You like that guaranteed?
Yes. If you are a chronic snacker and you want to try this, give it at least a few days, right? Because of our circadian rhythm, our body's going to expect that food and out of habit as well, right? But if you give yourself at least a few days, if not a week, your body can get out of that circadian rhythm and used to it. So have your handy electrolytes and water as a go-to instead. Yep. That'll help satiate you in between.
Bada bing, bada boom. All right. That's it. Episode 109 is in the books. Thank you so much for tuning in, whether you're watching or listening. We're on YouTube, we're on Spotify, we're on all the podcast platforms. If you enjoy our content, please help spread the word, share it, like it, review it, all the great things. Emily, anything else?
No, thank you though for those of you who do leave a review and share it. We really appreciate it.
We do appreciate it. All right, guys, that's it. 109. We'll see you next week. Episode 110. 110.
Yep, we're going with it.
110. And until then,
best day ever.
Best day ever. Emily, I have a question.
I might have an answer. Let's see.
You had 2 options for the rest of your life. This is a tough one for you, for sure. You either could wear shorts. We'll even include for the ladies, like a dress or skirt, but it has to be above the knees.
The knee. Okay.
You either could wear shorts the rest of your life or pants. What would you do? Couldn't have one or the other.
Living here, I would choose pants. I'd rather be hot than cold.
Fair enough.
What about you?
Neither. Yeah. Yeah. You guys know what I mean. You guys know what I mean. There's nothing else to be said here.
That's an option.
Yep. Okay. There is now. If you guys want to win a free box of Element, put in the review what you would choose, and we'll send you a free box Element. Take a screenshot, send it to us at proclivity.co. We'll send you an Element. Boom. That's it.